Welcome, welcome everyone to Divine Human. I am the host, Maria Martinez, and today I have a beautiful warrior, female warrior, Stacy Nichols. Stacy is a life coach, speaker, author, and today our topic is very interesting. Our topic is spiritual virago, and I'll let Stacy introduce herself and share a little bit about what that is and her passion behind that and how she came about to making that her movement and revolution. Welcome everybody. Welcome Stacy Nichols.
Thank you.
Yeah, well, thank you.
I'm so glad that you mentioned revolution because that was my first tattoo.
Oh, beautiful. Powerful.
Spiritual Virago is a project that I've just recently started, and I really wanted to do something around spiritual warriors, and I wanted it to be focused on women. And I started thinking, you know, what am I gonna call this? What's the name gonna be? You know, I need to like have this inspired name, right? And I started doing a little research, and I came across this word virago. And according to Wikipedia, it means a female warrior, but it had a really negative connotation. Like it was, you know, a loud, forceful woman. And this word was hundreds of years ago, like, medieval times or whatever, was really meant as an insult, you know, for someone like a Joan of Arc or whatever. And I saw that and I was like, that's the word. We need to take that back. We need to reclaim that. So yeah, I went with Spiritual Virago for the name of the site. And basically what the concept is based on is a certain set of, you know, like standards, or I don't know, like a kind of a system to live by. And the original spiritual warrior concept comes from Tibetan Buddhism. And this is really like a modern take on that same concept, and then really specialized to some of the intricacies of identifying as a woman today, some of the things that are a little different for us. So that's kind of a general overview.
Beautiful. And it's it feels like the movement now, it's empowerment, and not necessarily a revolution, because it's more about coming in and being the light. But that is part of the movement, right? It's we're rebelling against the old and reconstructing or constructing the new way of being, the new way of embodying. And as you described, this is like a system of beingness, of embodiment. And as you were talking about it, I was reminded of a program that I was also just recently inspired to create. It's called the Wealthy Goddess Code, and it's a system of embodiment. And it feels, you know, the energy of embodiment, again, you know, stepping into our power, aligning with our truth, and not needing to apologize for who we are in our strength and our loudness. So that's beautiful. So tell us a little bit more about your system and your program and how it works, or what the length of it, some of the processes that you offer in that system.
Sure. So, I mean, it's not necessarily like a coaching program or, you know, like a system in that nature. It's more like a kind of a code that you might want to live by. Like, you know, Christians might live by the Ten Commandments or whatever. If you're kind of on this spiritual virago, spiritual warrior path, you know, you could use this as your kind of guiding principles. And basically I have like a set of personality traits that you would kind of be aspiring to or working on, and then a six-step process, just kind of something to guide you if this is something that you want to start and you don't know, you know, where would be a good place to start. So I put that together as, you know, just a really loose guideline. I mean, certainly I don't have like a patent on this information or whatever, but what I really wanted was to provide information specifically for women who are interested in this sort of, you know, personal evolution, but also, you know, really our personal energy changes do affect a shift of worldwide energy. So, I mean, I think revolution, is a part of it. Might not be someone's like first instinct when they say, you know what? Yeah, this is for me. I want to do this. But it is definitely a part of it. And I do offer coaching in kind of like my philosophy is really based on like a kind of like an AA sponsor. Like you're working through this journey yourself, but I'm here with experience and training and so that's kind of the philosophy behind it. But yeah, it's very much about taking this kind of ancient warrior concept and making it more true for today. Because I mean, let's face it, like money is a really big part, for example, of our lives today. It's really not addressed that much in the original teachings. So there's a part about, financial literacy and some, so there's some kind of like modern twists like that. But ultimately, all of the content, a video, podcast, everything I produce is all around the 6-step process and the 12 traits. Literally everything is fits into somewhere on there to kind of help people push forward, stay motivated, get inspired.
Beautiful. I mean, it sounds very powerful. And as you describe it, it sounds even more so the system that I created. So tell us a little bit about, you mentioned financial empowerment. What are other things that you talk about that are part of the system or steps in that way of being, in that code?
Yeah, I suppose if I was more prepared, I would just have this sitting right in front of me. I can just pull it up right now and actually kind of go over loosely. But I can just say from memory, like the for example, with the 6-step process, the first part is deconstructing yourself. And I mean, I think that's kind of like an ongoing lifelong process, which is why when we get to the 6th step, it's kind of like start over again. And continually kind of working through this is, really it's the road to mastery.
Yes,
Of course,
love
my
it.
internet's completely like, I don't know,
That's okay.
super slow right now, but
Well, yeah, tell us how you came to the realization, this is something that feels empowering, that I want to bring forth, that I'm inspired to create. How did you get to that place? What's your inspiration?
yeah, I mean it's kind of like a whole lifelong list of experiences, but really and people can read my full story on the website, but what happened of recent that was the final kickoff was I participated in an ayahuasca ceremony, which if people aren't familiar, this is it's like a plant root that comes from the Amazon, and it's a very powerful psychedelic. And you participate in this ceremony with a group of people and a shaman, and you pray and you meditate, and there's chanting and stuff like that while you're kind of undergoing the effects of the ayahuasca. And so while I was, under the effects of the ayahuasca, I just really, understood that something I needed to do was to create this project and this website. And there is also, I have a full episode of my podcast and a blog on the website explaining specifically, like detail by detail, what happened at that ayahuasca ceremony. It was actually really traumatizing. Like my whole life is PTSD and complex PTSD. So it actually went really, really horribly. And yeah, I don't know. Somehow that this website and project is what the end result was. So
That's interesting. I myself haven't gone through the experience of ayahuasca, but I do know of others that have had that experience or that journey. And I've heard kind of, there's an awakening, there's a lot of inspiration, and then the other side of lots of purging, lots of. It's just interesting. And we all follow whatever we feel guided to do, whether it's plant medicine or something else.
yeah.
To get to where to that realization or to get that deeper level of connection. And it's all perfect. Whatever we're guided to do is perfect for us and in divine time and in divine order. Tell us this concept of virago, spiritual virago, how is that different than Tibetan Buddhism, the concept?
So I think, I mean, like I was saying, really the two main distinctions are that this is sort of a modern take on things. For example, the inclusion of financial literacy and empowerment. The other thing that is really unique from the sort of original concept of it is the focus on women. And I think one thing that's really important to be transparent about is that the person who originally founded, and this is, he didn't really found it, but he really brought it forward to Western culture, Chogyam Trungpa, he unfortunately has a really poor reputation for having sex with underage students. He married an underage student. There's some stories of him forcing both male and female students of his to like get naked at parties. And he supposedly is just a well-known alcoholic. And so for me, I feel like there's so, I mean, people think like, oh, you know, Dalai Lama, Tibetan Buddhism, like it's, you know, this, I don't know, like mystical perfect thing. And, you know, really has a lot of the same institutional problems that churches here are having. And I think that's a good example. So that for me was kind of another motivating reason why, you know, let's revamp this and really, you know, provide a female voice. Like when you read some of his writings, and I mean, he's an amazing teacher. His books are just mind blowing, to be honest with you. But you know, there's sexist language, and it's very clear that it's written from a point of view of, you know, women kind of fit in this box and men kind of fit in that box. Mm-hmm. And, you know, for me, I just, you know, not interested. I really just like to feel included. So.
Very good. So you decided to create your own system and your own code and create that space, that platform for other women. That's very powerful. And what's really powerful about that is that you decided this system doesn't really work for everybody. So I'm going to create one that works for me and then invite others to step into it and invite others to feel into it and have the space for them to choose and follow, you know, that guideline, follow the steps that it's going to allow them to feel more free and empowered and choose their own path and break away from what was into what could be for them. So that's powerful. That's amazing. What would you say has been your greatest challenge?
Wow. Well, I mean, of course, there's like practical things like having time to work on all the project, everything. I haven't posted anything in probably at least 3 to 4 weeks now because of my move. And it wasn't just like I moved across town. It was like 4,000 mile international move.
Wow.
Like my stuff was two weeks late. And so there's just been like this ridiculous amount of delay. But finally the dust is beginning to settle and I can, you know, go back to working on the site, but that's definitely been a factor. I think from like a personal point of view, it's really hard to just kind of say, like, I have this thing I want to present and help people with. And I mean, honestly, I probably felt like for the last 20 years that I should do something like this, maybe even longer than 20 years. And I just felt like, you know, but who am I, you know, but who am I to say this or do this? And I don't know, just finally, I didn't care anymore. And I said, I'm doing this.
That's great. And this is also a great lesson for the audience. It, you know, because we do that. We devalue who we are, or we don't really own our worth and we feel like we're not good enough. No, or even not, I have to do X, Y, and Z. Then when I feel like it's perfect, or when I feel like I got it all together, then I'll do that, or then I'll do what I'm here to do. So we sabotage, or we delay, we procrastinate. And so this is a great lesson too. You know, yes, of course, everything is in divine timing, But the more open we are to allowing what we're here to do to come forth, and we trust ourselves, trust our guidance, trust our gifts, our talents, and our value, then that may reveal sooner than later, versus being in your head and who am I, and you know what makes me more important or more valuable than somebody else. So just reminding our audience that we're also creating some of that ourselves, and to be very aware of who is really creating the delay, and who is really getting in the way of being our greatest selves and creating and bringing forth what we're here to create. So that's beautiful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think, you know, don't wait for someone to like knock on the door and give you an invitation. Just do it.
Beautiful. Beautiful. So you mentioned that, you know, there has been several events in your life. What would you say has been the journey to living now, feeling this is who I'm supposed to be, this is who I'm embodying now, this just feels very good, I feel very comfortable in my own skin, I feel comfortable in bringing this forth. What supported you, helped you, what lessons did you learn along the way that have brought you to the space of living in alignment?
Wow. Well, talking about, like, you know, the things in my life that have happened, and I did grow up with a abusive alcoholic mom, and her mom was an abusive alcoholic, and her mom was an abusive alcoholic. So just kind of like the pain body of that mothering energy is really heavy. I didn't even realize that that was happening or was even a thing probably until I was in high school. I didn't even understand, like, that my mom was like different than other moms, or, you know, I didn't know. And then when I was 6 years old, I was raped by a friend of my dad's, and that memory was actually repressed. Nobody talked to me about it. I mean, I told my dad and it was reported to the police. The man was arrested. And then after that, nobody ever said, like, how are you? You okay? Nobody's like, it literally just disappeared. And so because of that, you know, it just disappeared up here too. And I didn't even, I was flipping through a magazine one day as a teenager and reading, and it was an article about some sexual assault or something. And I was like, oh, wait a minute. I call my parents in my room. I'm like, did this happen? This thing just popped in. Is this real? And they were like, yeah, yeah, that all happened. I'm like, what? Why haven't we talked about it in like 7 years or whatever, you know? So all these things were kind of growing roots in me, and I didn't even realize and even understand. And then of course the kind of flowering of those roots started to happen in adulthood, with a bunch of bad relationships and stuff like that. So, yeah, I think, I mean, I've always been a person that just really believed in, you know, going to therapy, praying, meditating, trying out churches and different spiritual things and reading, and, you know, just really like doing what it takes and what is sort of called upon you to get yourself together and to get yourself right. And I mean, I certainly haven't done it in a streamlined way, or, you know, and I'm not standing up here saying, like, you know, oh, well, you know, I've accomplished all this, you know, I mean, I just did what I had to do. I just crawled my way back. That's really all it was. And what I came to understand during the ayahuasca ceremony was, I mean, like, you keep saying, like, oh, how, you know, it's strong and it's powerful. I didn't know that. I didn't understand that. I didn't, I mean, people would tell me from time to time, like, because of an athlete, like, oh, you know, you're a strong person. And it just really, I don't know why, but it just really became clear at that ayahuasca ceremony, like, oh, okay. I kind of see now, like, from this other perspective, my journey and how that may be different from some other people's situations. And that's when I really felt like, yeah, I need to do something here.
Beautiful. And it sounds like that was also a pivotal point for you, like, okay, I'm ready to step into, I'm ready to create something different. And it felt like it was, I feel some level of alignment where I feel now ready to bring what I'm here to bring forth and create what I'm guided to create now. So that feels beautiful.
Yeah, I mean, to be honest with you, I, because of my situation with the alcohol and addiction in my family, have never been drunk. I have never smoked a cigarette, never done anything. So the ayahuasca was a really, really big jump for me because I don't do things like that. And my motivation was because my dad passed away 12 years ago, and he was the spiritual warrior.
Beautiful.
So, and I came to understand that if I participated in the ceremony, I might be able to like connect with him or see him. And people report that happening all the time. So I thought that to me was a risk worth taking, all the throwing up and
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And sometimes it's important to realize or to understand that we get to be uncomfortable sometimes to get to where we want to get to. And
absolutely.
not just being uncomfortable with what that state of beingness is, but also to be willing to do whatever it takes to reconnect with who we are and to find ourselves again and find all that we are. The light, the strength, the courage, the gifts, the talents, the value, the worth. So
Yeah.
thank you for sharing that. Beautiful, beautiful. If there is something that you feel would be important for the audience to know, let's say, if they get anything at all, this is the message that you want them to get. What is that? What would that be for you?
I think that, we're used to hearing all the time, like, oh, the number one thing that people are afraid of is public speaking or death. And I don't think that's true at all. I think what people are really afraid of is feeling their pain and kind of getting into the messiness and the muddiness. And like I was talking about, the crawling your way through the dark cave of muddiness and all that ugliness in there. And I mean, I certainly hope other people don't have a lot of ugliness and muddiness in there, but I think the average person has some of that. And I would just really say, look in the mirror and face that.
Absolutely.
It's fucking terrifying, to be honest with you.
Absolutely.
It's
But
terrifying, but yeah,
it's also,
if I had one thing, it would
yeah.
be jump in and you'll figure it out.
Absolutely. And that's something that I always say, and I actually use the mirror metaphor as well. Stand in front of the mirror and see yourself, the light in the dark, and embrace it. Learn to love that part of you. Learn to accept that part of you, because once you do, it's there's so much freedom there. Because you're no longer repressing it, pushing it away, running away from it. You now
Absolutely.
have the space to allow more into your life. So
Yeah.
beautiful, very powerful,
Yeah, I
beautiful.
mean, one thing I like to say a lot is just that, if you can overcome, the rape or the abuse or whatever it was, if you can overcome that, like really ask yourself, what could ever happen to me again in the future that's gonna scare me, or that I'm gonna think I can't do that? Like for me, I gave birth to my daughter at home, drug free. And that's what someone who, grew up with this seed inside that I'm so afraid of being out of control of my body from the rape. And I did 9 months of out of control of my body. And I faced it not in a hospital, not on drugs. And I think, people say all the time, how did you do that? How could you, like, look at what else I've done. Like this was, it was something, and I'm proud of it. But to be honest with you, like, whatever's gonna happen, I know that my head's gonna stay above water, whatever it is.
Yes, resilience. So you're really
Exactly.
owning your resilience, and also really it's just also remembering that we are a lot stronger than we give ourselves credit sometimes. And maybe we were taught to suppress that. And maybe that's contributed to either not facing our fullness and our full power or our light, our full potential. Or maybe that's led us to dimming our light. But now we get to be as strong and experience all that we are. Beautiful.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I think too, you mentioned resilience, and I know that's a really big kind of buzzword right now. And I just want to say, if people feel like they don't resonate with the word resilience or resilient, because we have this idea like, if I don't bounce back from something, like I'm not tough or I'm not resilient. And I feel like that's not true at all. And to kind of wrap back around to, we were talking about the spiritual virago traits, and one of them is relentlessness. And I specifically chose that word over resilient because I feel like what it's really about is just trying and
Keeping
keeping
going.
going and just being
Yes.
persistent. It doesn't really matter if it takes you 2 days or 2 months or 25 years to bounce back, It's just about keeping going.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's really the way I see resilience. It's more about you loving yourself, accepting yourself, and giving, continuously giving to yourself, and not giving up yourself, like keeping going on that path, on whatever path you've chosen for your happiness, for your joy, for having what you desire.
Absolutely.
Beautiful. Yeah, Stacey, this has been amazing, and we can, keep going for many hours. And I'd love for you to come back with us and share more about what you're doing. If somebody wanted to connect with you, how would they find you?
Yeah, the website is spiritualvirago.com. That's Virago. And of course, all the socials are on there. But yeah, you can, I'm on Instagram. I have the YouTube channel with the podcast, which is called The Female Flex. And that's available on all the major podcast channels. And then I have do a video version on YouTube. But yeah, Instagram and Twitter and all that stuff, Facebook, Spiritual Virago.
Beautiful, beautiful. Your work is very inspirational and also very, it feels like very down to it. Like you're very open, very authentic. So I believe the audience will really feel that from you as well. And I'm very excited with where you're going and everything that you're creating. Yes, lots of love to you. And then again, I look forward to having you again and going even deeper into the spiritual virago and just how what you're up to, what you've been creating. Especially now in your new area, your new move, and how you're creating in that space. So, thank you so much for being here with
Thank
us.
you. Thank you.
Yes, thank you. And thank you, audience, for listening and supporting us. And we look forward to being with you very soon again. Thank you.